It's time to get behind the mission with the United Way of the Tananaw Valley on KFAR Radio, promoting all of our incredible nonprofit organizations that truly make Fairbanks the Golden Heart City. And now, let's get behind the mission.
Good morning, Tananaw Valley. You are listening to Behind the Mission with United Way of the Tananaw Valley. I'm Kayla Smith, Executive Director of United Way, and today we are welcoming back a guest who truly represents what it means to serve, not just here in Alaska, but truly wherever help is needed most. Joining me today, I have Julie Swisher, Executive Director of the American Red Cross of Alaska. And Julie, we spoke last, I think it was January last year, when you were actually deployed in California supporting response efforts to the wildfires in Pasadena. So first, welcome back, and thank you so much for all the work you do.
I'm happy to be back. Thanks for having me on. This is exciting. You know, I did the podcast from a phone in LA, and yes, Now I'm sitting in the X-Rock studio just, you know, here, ready to talk to you, and I'm hello Fairbanks.
Yeah, no, that is true. I mean, I listened back to the last show, and I mean, I think you were actually at the shelter at that time. You had to step outside because, you know, it's so noisy and so much going on. And I mean, just even in that moment, just to try and find, you know, a 30-minute moment of silence, if you will, that seems almost like it seems pretty difficult, especially when you're responding to disasters. So, I mean, tell me a little bit about that experience and what that response looked like for you.
Well, Kayla, the response that I was on in January of last year was just absolutely, devastating to see the community, just all of the homes, all you could see in the Pasadena area or Altadena where I was at were just chimneys, stacks of chimneys and rubble and ashes and people milling around just trying to figure out what the next step is in their lives. And so it was just an incredible opportunity to be there on the ground to help those folks and see that community really come together. LA really pulled all the strings and came together and was just, it was an incredible sight to see.
Yeah, definitely. Very raw. Very,
very
real.
Very raw, for sure. Yeah,
very real. And that's, you know, that is very incredible to go into an environment that you're not familiar with and be a resource for them and to try and help them cope with what's going on or process through what's going on, you know, in their own reality in that moment. That's pretty impactful.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we were just one piece of the puzzle, right? There's so many organizations that come together during times of need. And it's not a one person can fix this. It's we all need to come together and work together and pull together for each other. And that's the only way that any of us can all be successful.
Yeah, no, definitely. You're right. And, you know, it almost seems like that'd be a standout moment to see all of these different organizations come together to unite, to assist with this common goal of helping this community. And I mean, you can only imagine that, you know, I mean, you came from Alaska going down to California where everybody else came from, you know, so I imagine all over the country to respond to that effort.
Yeah. In big disasters like that, we do have the opportunity with the Red Cross because we're such a large national organization where volunteers from across the state come up to support areas of need. Mm-hmm. And so I met people from Virginia and Louisiana and Montana and just all of these places, all coming with the same purpose. Right. And the same purpose is to help others and get engaged and get involved and be a part of something that's bigger than themselves. And that's just, I mean, somebody once called the Red Cross the flash mob of hope. And I don't know why. It just kind of stuck with me. It just like it touches my heart because that's really how I feel our organization works during times of disaster. There's a lot of chaos happening all around you. But you see these guys walk up and gals walk up in these red vests that say disaster relief. And you're like, oh, my gosh, thank goodness somebody is here.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty intense. And that's an interesting, you know, relation. It is like a little flash mob of help, a flash mob of hope, really, you know, to, like you said, we got the resources, we got some food, we've got some shelter, we've got some assistance here. What do you need? You need some first aid? You know, we've got it. And it probably does bring a bit of calm and collectiveness to the chaos, you know, in these communities that are affected by tragedies and disasters, major disasters.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, bringing it back home offline, we were just talking about the Alaskan effort, you know, the Halong typhoon.
Yeah, Typhoon Halong. Yeah, I was telling you earlier that, you know, I've responded to other disasters. I've been to Milton and Helene back in October, two Octobers ago, and then moved into the LA wildfires, and then we had one in our own backyard.
Right.
Typhoon Halong impacted Western Alaska, and those communities like Quiguilangoc and Kipnock and Kungilangoc and all of those communities across the West, I mean, it was just devastating to see the damage that happened. And then you're taking these communities and you're going to have to move them into Anchorage. And a lot of these folks have never, it's just not their lifestyle. Anchorage is the big city, right?
Sure,
Anchorage
sure.
is the big city. There's, this, you know, there's cars, there's, you know, buildings. And it's just such a different lifestyle than the village life. And these people have had to adapt and make just some really hard choices with what's going to happen next in their life. And to be able to support them during their time of need was just so meaningful. And we opened two shelters.
Wow.
Initially. Okay. Yeah. One at the Alaska Airlines Center and then one at the Egan downtown Anchorage. And so we were there for that portion of it, helped them transition to what we call non-congregate sheltering. Mm. And then the state worked with another partner to kind of facilitate that in the meantime. But now we actually are just this week wrapping up a secondary form of help and support called what we call bridge assistance. It's part of long-term recovery where we had an amazing group of donors who came together to pull together some funds. So we were able to give additional funding to these folks. And I mean, that's how what the mission should do, right? It doesn't just stop when the disaster is over and you turn your back and you walk away. You continue to walk alongside these people as long as they need and continue to support them, identify those unmet needs and walk with them throughout their whole journey.
Wow. Yeah, no, thank you. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Behind the Mission with United Way of the Tanana Valley. I'm interviewing Miss Julie Swisher here with American Red Cross of Alaska. And we were just chatting a little bit about, you know, the disaster response efforts. And, you know, something you had mentioned was this bridge need, you know, after the initial response and I, you know, for lack of a better phrase, the flames have tamed a little bit and things are somewhat trying to normalize again in the communities that you're responding to. This, you know, what is the bridge program? Like, does that help people with like mental, with physical assistance? Like what is that?
Well, really our role in that, the bridge assistance program, it's additional funding that the survivors of Typhoon Halong can utilize for whatever needs they may have. And so we're talking about communities that were taken out of their homes, who lost everything. I think about all the families that I talked to, and something that really was hard for them to kind of get over was, hey, we just got done putting all of our subsistence food into these freezers.
Wow.
And all of our berries, all of our fish, all of our seal, and now it's gone. Our freezers are gone, and our four-wheelers are gone, and our homes are gone.
Wow, yeah.
And they've been living, in some of them, in hotels for a really long time, and then transitioning to, you know, a somewhat more temporary housing solution. Mm. But they want to go home, right? Somebody asked me, hey, Julie, do you think that these people will want to go back? And I looked at them, and I said, well, wouldn't you?
Yeah. No,
wouldn't
absolutely.
You want to go home?
Right.
Yeah, that's home. And so being able to work with our donors to be able to provide any additional funding that they can use for whatever they need right now, that's it's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. That's mission focused right there. That's helping the people get back to their lifestyle, get back to the way things, you know, kind of were if they can, they can, whatever that looks like for them in this new way. After this disaster relief. So thank you. Thank you so much for everything that you guys do. You know, truly, I do want to take a quick moment to sidestep a little bit. And I just want to congratulate you, Miss Julie.
No.
I'm doing it. Because, Julie, you were recently crowned Miss Community Service Miss Alaska for America Strong pageant. That is such an incredible recognition.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's really the epitome of what you do. I mean, there's really no other, that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect for you. Everything that you do in this community is all about service and about giving our motto, right? Service above self as a Rotarian. It's, you truly do exemplify that. And it's very necessary in our world today to have people like you willing to do the hard things and to see the hard stuff and to actually move through these experiences with people who are going through very real life experiences. And I'm very grateful to say that I've never been through a big tragedy, a natural disaster, you know, things like that. But it just, even in my own personal life, when my son was diagnosed, with autism, I needed support. I needed somebody who was level-headed, who was like not in the thick of the tragedy with me, and to just say, okay, this is what we're working with. These are the resources we have, and you can do this. We can do this together. So, like, personally, thank you for being that, for our community, for the state, for the country, truly, because of, you know, you're awesome. So thank you, Mr.
Oh, thank you, Kayla. You guys can't see, but I can see her right across from me, and she had me grinning. I'm looking at her, and that really does just mean so much, Kayla. Thank you. It was a really incredible experience. I went into it with, you know, no predisposed ideas of like how a beauty pageant should be. Yeah. But I mean, holy cow, it totally flipped me on my head walking around in high heels. And, you know, it was actually kind of fun. You got to feel like a girl for a whole night.
A little dressed up.
Yeah. You know, you trade your extra tufts for a pair of high heels, which, by the way, I haven't worn in a really long time. So I put a post on Facebook and I was like, you know, I left bruised and blistered, but I came back with a whole new appreciation
good,
for
girl.
Pageant girls. Oh, and, you know, the most special part of that whole experience was getting to meet other women who are out in the community just doing the most gosh darn amazing things ever. I mean, you had women who were doctors, and you had women who were stay-at-home moms. And you had women who are just advocates for things that they believe in the community. And that's, I mean, that just touched my heart.
That's inspiring.
So inspiring. Mm-hmm. And to be able to learn from them, grow from them. We're still close. Even like, you know, you think about like 2 days of like jam-packed, let's like learn these dances. But you really get to know these women on a totally different level. So raw, like you were talking about earlier. And to be able to uplift them and support them, even still to this day. No, I didn't win the pageant. I did come back with Miss Community Service, which was so meaningful to me because, as you said, you know, I really, I try to exemplify that. If I'm going to be an advocate in the community who says, hey, let's get out there, get engaged, get involved, do something, then I should be able to have the receipts to back that up too.
Oof. Amen, sister. Yeah, no, and you sure do. I'll tell you, you walk it better than you talk it. So I love it.
You should have seen me walking it out there.
Okay, speaking of the heels, it's fine. It's fine. Practice. It's all good. But so it really is incredible to see how much of this work is powered by people stepping up to help others. You're listening to Behind the Mission with United Way of the Tanana Valley. I'm Kayla Smith. I'm here with Julie Swisher with American Red Cross of Alaska. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to chat a little bit about preparedness, especially as we head into the summer months and what breakup looks like and how that might be affecting your organization and what we can do. So stay with us. We will be right back.
Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tanana Valley. We'll continue after this short break on KFAR Radio.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50/50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50/50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it, sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50/50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
The United Way of the Tanana Valley's mission is to improve the lives of every person by mobilizing the caring power of our community. We inspire others to join us in supporting our local nonprofits that serve our friends and neighbors by providing life-changing services here in Interior Alaska. To learn more about how you can give, advocate, and volunteer with us, please contact our office at 907-452-7211 or go to our website at unitedwaytananavalley.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., Behind the Mission with the United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the Archives section. Weekends, just got local with KFAR Radio. Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tanana Valley. And now, let's get behind the mission.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Behind the Mission with United Way of the Tanana Valley. I am Kayla Smith. Today we're talking with Julie Swisher from the American Red Cross of Alaska. For those of you just joining us, we are chatting about disaster response, volunteerism, and pretty much how we can all be better prepared here in our community. So one thing I do want to kind of touch on, though, is that, I believe yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, you held an event, an appreciation event for your volunteers. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, Kayla, it was so fun to see everybody come into the Red Cross office, all of our volunteers, and the reason why we brought everybody together because, drum roll, please. It is National Volunteer Appreciation Month. Yes. And so the American Red Cross is built up of 90% of our volunteer workforce. I work to support the volunteers. It's really a volunteer-run organization.
Yes.
And so, we just wanted to say thank you. And I just want to take this moment to say thank you to everybody who volunteers their time and efforts and talents and voice to the community, because that's how we collectively uplift each other, make our community stronger, and create that impact. You know, volunteers do so much, and it just being able to find an organization that you believe in, that you can get behind their
yes.
mission,
mm-hmm.
it'll change your life. If you've never thought about volunteering before, get involved, get engaged, and you'd be surprised. I think you'll surprise yourself. You know, people tell me all the time, I just don't have time. Mm. Maybe when I have more time, or maybe when I get older. And I'll be honest with you, I thought the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
At the time when I first started volunteering for the Red Cross, I was working at the TV station. I was a weather lady for, Channel 13, and I was like, man, I got kids. Mm-hmm. I'm working this busy life. But somebody was like, hey, do you have 1 hour of your day to install smoke alarms into people's homes? And I was like, maybe I have 1 hour. And 1 hour that day grew into 1 hour the next day and 1 hour the next week. And
yeah.
It just became one of those things that I'm like, man, I really like doing this. I really like installing smoke alarms into people's homes because it makes me feel good. And I know that they're safe.
Right.
And just even volunteering for an hour will just change everything.
Right. I think one of the keys of volunteerism is that, collectively we need each other to survive in the world. Like, whatever culture you have, whatever community you live in, we all have our specialties. We all have,
yeah.
Our strengths and weaknesses, if you will, and we complement each other. We need each other. And so just as very basic as it might be, there's somebody out there who is either unaware of how to do it or unable to install their own smoke detector. And that little piece of assistance, I mean, like you said, you're helping save lives out there, truly, because you're able to do that and you're willing to do that and you're willing to give the time and the energy and the effort.
Yeah.
It's so much more than just throwing cash at something and saying, okay, here, I helped. Giving time
is your most precious commodity.
It's the
right?
most. Oh, yes. Yeah. You'll never get that back. Absolutely.
But, you know, people volunteer in different ways. They may not have the time, but they may have the finances, and that's their way of volunteering and giving back. Some people may not have time to go in person, but they may be able to volunteer from home.
Right.
And so there's so many different opportunities. You just got to find the one that works for you.
Right.
I will tell you that during time of disaster or during like these big events that we have, volunteers are like, yeah, that's the time. That's the time I'm going to get in and get engaged. And yes, we love that and appreciate that. People always want to say, how can I help? How can I help? How can I get engaged? A lot of that stuff that we need for folks to come in and help out on the front lines, they need to be able to be prepped behind, like
yes,
in the back
all
end.
The prep work, right.
And so if you've ever thought of like getting involved in doing something like, hey, I want to help with winter breakup or wildfire season, how can I get engaged? Mm. Well, find an organization that you want to get engaged with and start figuring out what training you're going to need to be able to respond before the event.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, just even to touch on training and stuff, preparedness, just being prepared for not just a volunteer job, but you know, how does the Red Cross, you know, help the community prepare for, let's say, like even like seasonal transitions? For example, we're going through breakup right now. There's all sorts of things occurring. I mean, the temperature swings are ridiculous. What are some of the bigger risks that we have here in Alaska?
I'm just going to put it out to the universe. Winter, I am breaking up with you. I am over you, Winter. The coldest winter on record, like since we've been recording. Like, I'm not the weather lady anymore. Don't email me. I'm not the dark lord of the skies. But I'm telling you, I was like shaking my fist off my front porch, like, will this ever end?
Yes.
You know, but and we have to be aware of kind of what's going on with our seasons change, right? Like here in the interior, We got winter breakup coming. The river, right, is going to start melting. Depending on how warm it's going to get, is going to depend on how fast that water is going to melt and what those ice chunks are going to do. And then we can kind of see, working with other organizations, well, what communities along the rivers are going to be impacted and how can we mitigate that ahead of time to get out there and make sure that they have resources, make sure that we are prepared by doing that training on the back end so that we can send our folks out, work with organizations to also make sure that we share our resources, not duplicate efforts, and make it be a very clean, concise event and effort so that everybody who we're trying to help is helped.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that everybody genuinely does need help, whether it's even just advice of what to look out for your own personal, you know, if it's not looking out for the whole community, how situationally aware do I need to be in my home, looking at the water line, looking at leaks, looking at this and that, you know, pushing the snow out from away from the house and just sort of preparing in those efforts. It's a very, you know, it's a small scale compared to a whole community preparedness, but it's still a necessary piece.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't even say it's even small scale. If you want to be prepared, it starts at home, right? I mean, we talk about like disasters, river flooding, those kind of things, or we can talk about everyday home fires, which is the number one disaster that we respond to. Do your kids know what to do, who to call? Do you as a family have an established safe place outside your home that you know everybody is going to go to if there's an emergency so you can make sure that everybody's accounted for? Those little things that you practice, then they turn into you having the knowledge and the tools to be able to get out safely, be prepared. They know who to call and help is going to be there waiting for you.
Yeah, I saw one of the, it was a resource on your website about family emergency plans and just sort of tips and tricks on what that is and how to put one together and just, you know, what does that kind of look like in practice, putting together a family emergency plan?
Sure. We call them a safety plan.
Perfect.
So when we go into homes and we're talking about any kind of emergency, whether that be, you know, earthquakes, fires, flooding here in the interior, I mean, it could even come down to there's a winter storm and power lines are out. There's no electricity. What are you going to do? What is your safety plan? Do you have a kit? that's ready to go. Mm-hmm. Call it a go kit. You know, do you have flashlights in there? Do you have all of your personal papers that are kind of close by? So if you need to, you can go and grab them. Do you have water in there? Chargers, right? We tied to our phones these days. Mm-hmm. It's the worst to be able to get to a safe place and then have like 2% on your battery. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no. gloves. Do your kids have the right snow gear? Like all of these things. Can you just grab it and go?
Yeah.
Right? Those things you got to be able to, once again, just practice and have ready so that if and when, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, it's what we say.
Right, exactly. What, how can people listening right now, how can people support Red Cross and your mission here in Alaska?
Well, I mean, I think that there's certain, that's an open-ended question because I think that there is so many ways that you can get engaged and get involved. One of the things that you can do is, like we were just talking about, prepare yourself, right?
Wow. Okay.
So start there. It doesn't cost anything for you to prepare yourself at home. It doesn't cost anything for you to teach your kids your phone number and your address. So if somebody asks, like, how, you know, if they call 911, hey, yeah, this is my mom. This is, you know, her phone number, or my dad or my grandpa. You know, teaching your kids those kind of really important skills and is free, right? Looking outside and finding that tree or that fire hydrant or talking to your neighbor across the street so that if they have an emergency, you know what to say when emergency provider or services come. Do you know your neighbor?
Yeah.
Let's just start there.
Start
like,
there.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do you know your neighbor? If they need help or if you need help, could you rely on them to help you? Like, those things are free, right?
Right. I really appreciate that response. I genuinely appreciate that response because it all does start at home. It really does start with you as your individual taking care of yourself, and you being prepared does help your neighbor. Mm-hmm. You being prepared does help the community as a whole. So I think that's a fantastic start. Absolutely. Look within yourself and see if you're prepared. And then I still want to ask, though, how can we reach out to Red Cross? How can we get a hold of you if we want to volunteer or if we want to contribute in some other way, training, education?
Well, I like to tell people that there's always something for everybody at Red Cross.
Yes.
We have so many volunteer opportunities. If you want to be the person that goes out and goes to home fires in the middle of the night, we call those our DAT responders or a disaster action team. We need people like that in the Fairbanks area. We have a group of folks who do it time and time again. We could use some more people who like that. They don't mind waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and, you know, showing up with a blanket and a hug during somebody's worst day.
Right.
And just being there and holding them while the firefighters and emergency personnel have a job to do. Right. They got to be able to put out the fire, and we're here alongside the client or the person who just experienced this horrible, horrible disaster, and just be there to support them in that moment.
Yeah,
we need folks like that here. There's duty officers. There's people who kind of work as the folks who call out, hey, there's been a home fire. Can you go? Right? Those are like the, what do you call them in dispatch. They're like dispatch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the list goes on and on. So you can volunteer if you feel obligated and you want to help support our mission to alleviate human suffering in the face of emergencies. You can donate to us. You can find us on our website. You can go and visit me. My office is located at 3501 Lathrop Street off of Van Horn next to Hoarfrost. Come in there, step in, say hi. Let's grab a cup of coffee. If you've ever been interested in knowing more about the Red Cross or want to get involved, I'm your girl. I will tell you and I will talk to you. And let's talk about it over a cup of coffee.
That's perfect. Thank you so much, Julie. Thank you for joining us today. And honestly, thank you for the work that you do here in Alaska and really wherever you're called to serve. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I am Kayla Smith with United Way of the Tanana Valley. And today we've been visiting with Julie Swisher with American Red Cross of Alaska. Thank you so much to our listeners for tuning in to Behind the Mission. As we head into the summer season, now is a great time to think about the preparedness, make yourself a plan with your family, and find ways to support organizations that help keep our community safe. Until next time, this has been Behind the Mission, where we highlight the people and partnerships working to make the Tanana Valley stronger. Thanks so much, you guys. Have a great day.
You have been listening to Behind the Mission with the United Way of the Tanana Valley. To listen back to this or any of our other local programs, simply click on the archives page at kfarradio.com. Behind the Mission has been a presentation of the United Way and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station.